Poland Eats the News on FUBAR Radio. The time is 12 o'clock. This is FUBAR Radio, the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. This show is called Mark Dolan Eats the News. And over the next 60 minutes, we'll be looking back at the biggest stories of the year. And what a year it's been. 2016. A year, let's be honest, to forget. So let's not do that. Let's remember it in the company of top comedians, Sajila Kershi. Welcome to FUBAR Radio.
Thank you, Mark. Lovely to be here.
It's a thrill and an honour to have you, and Jake Pickford. Definitely friend of the show. I mean, it's an expression that's used quite glibly in radio, friend of the show. But I mean, we are actually quite personal friends, aren't we?
I would say best friends, yeah.
I think it started, like, I think you maybe there was a bit of Twitter action, and then we connected on Facebook, and Now we just actually meet as men in rooms, don't we?
Exactly, just rooms, just empty rooms, just me and Mark standing naked and flaccid.
I always call it, thank you for that. I like to think that that's the moment of the friendship when it's distilled and really happens, Sajila, is when you're in a building together.
Absolutely, in a small room, confined space.
That's what I like. Now, I'm thrilled to have you. It has been a ridiculous year. Ultimately, a terrible year for the world and all humans, but tremendous for comedians.
Yes. I was saying, this is we're the only winners, aren't we?
We really are. I mean, basically, us and the far right are really doing great.
Yeah. So weird.
Oh, yeah, we have that in common.
I know. It's
comedians and the
fantastic.
Far right.
I suppose, I mean, do you ever struggle with, is sometimes the comedy so available that it can be a hindrance? Because I do get, you know, punters come up to me and go, oh, Donald Trump, yeah, I bet that stuff writes itself. And actually, I'm sort of starting to run out of Donald Trump material now because the man is such a self-parody himself that where do you go with it, actually?
Where do you bring the new angle? Where do you bring a new kind of thing? I agree. And I think somebody wrote recently a piece, something about you have to go further now, we have to be more shocking, and I'm not sure that's me, but I don't know. I mean, how more shocking can you get than Donald Trump and Brexit? We can't be any more shocked than that.
I know, and I think, I mean, it's obviously, you know, just at a glance, 2016, David Bowie, Donald Trump, Brexit, loads of terrorism, different kinds of new kinds of terrorism. And I just feel like, oh my God, what's the date now? Is it like the 17th or something? It's the 20th, right?
Four sleeps.
By the way, the man who's been to too many Christmas parties. You know what I mean? Don't even know what day of the week it is. 20th of December, 2000. So we've got a matter of days to go. We've got 10, 11 days of this wretched year. And I'm just like, I'm braced myself. Could we get away with the rest of the year and nothing else happen that's bad? I mean, I just feel that we are like one dead chuckle brother away from the worst year in human history.
Is that your level?
Yeah. Either of the chuckle brother, I slightly prefer the thinner,
one.
Smaller one.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
I think that
you survive.
I think the older one is the older one. the bigger one is not a nice man. That's my guess. But that's just body language.
He looks mean.
Correct. So, so that's it. It's been a crazy year. And last night, and you know, we are a comedy show, we talk about the news and everything. There's absolutely nothing funny about terrorism, and there was a tragedy in Germany at a Christmas market in Berlin. However, there are sort of parallels with comedy and comedy material and news coverage, which is that a year ago, somebody driving a truck into innocent bystanders at a Christmas market would have been a huge global story. Today, it's a big story, but it's not like, okay, stop what you're doing. You know, here's what's happened, which was, I think, our reaction to Paris and probably Nice as well. And it gives us a situation where a story like that, yes, it's a big story, but not a huge one. I mean, that just shows how, you know, the level of carnage and horror that's happened this year means we're quite desensitized.
Yeah,
It's not good, is it?
But also, I wonder if it's because we've already had a truck-type sort of scenario, so it's almost seen as a copycat thing, and so therefore it's like, well, you haven't brought anything original to the table here.
The Glasgow one, is that
Yeah, you know, it's just... No, because, but I just think it's because it's Charlie Hebdo happened, that was like, oh, my God, this is freedom of speech, blah, blah, blah. We could have something to hang on that.
Yeah.
We had the Nice thing, which was like innocent people just having fun, enjoying themselves. And I wonder if this is just kind of... Oh, we've kind of seen this before, and I'm not trying to be comedic here at all. I'm just saying generally I think that people just think, you know, maybe it like you say, desensitise, but it's Yeah, we you know, it's happened before. We're not.
Well, it's like when they had an explosion at Istanbul Airport, and I think unfortunately there's a perception in Western Europe that you look at Turkey and you kind of think, well, that's basically the Middle East, and they have bombs in the Middle East. That's just the way it goes. And then I was thinking, well, wait a minute, it was Istanbul Airport. Turkey is not, it's the gateway to the Middle East, but it's a democracy. It's a European country, geographically and historically. And I had my honeymoon there. And I think sometimes you've just got to actually personalize it and think, well, you know, I've been in the baggage hall where it happened, waiting for my Samsonite kit. Actually, it's not as premium as Samsonite, if I'm honest with you. It's a Sports Direct owned brand, Caramore, if you're interested. But, you know, I just realize that one of the challenges for newsmakers, and maybe even for comedians, is how we process and deal with this terrible stuff without becoming glib about it, and without it just becoming someone else's problem.
Because you know, this whole thing is like, you know, do you go shocking? Do you go? I think things like this, personally, it makes me angry. So I have talked about it. I have talked about Charlie Hebdo, and he's thinking, how do you make this funny? But I can. Okay, so there are parts that you don't have to.
What did you do? Did you just like draw a cartoon on stage?
No, because somebody started up a little hate campaign on Facebook to ask people to delete me because I had made I'd said to comment like something like, I didn't want to use the Charlie Just Be Charlie hashtag. It made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And because of my background, and I think that's what it is, it's like it's taken in a different context. And it's like, well, a lot of my friends are saying this as well. Yeah, white middle class friends are saying this. They don't feel comfortable. But somehow I was like, well, you're against freedom of speech. You're persona non grata. And then started this like, delete her. And I was like, what? And then people were, which is quite nice because it got rid of all the arseholes, basically. Basically.
Yeah, definitely.
Clearly,
yeah.
You know, and
you've had a good clear.
And they say, all right, I've got loads of friends, so I'm fine. I've still got thousands.
Of course, you do.
But the point is, I included it in the show because it was a referencing to another situation. So it was like a callback to something I did earlier on about childhood kind of bullying and how you have to kind of stand up for what you believe in. Now, isn't comedy what the thing that we do? Yes, we want to make people laugh, but surely there's a part of us that wants to make that slight bit of difference. You know, there's on all of us, even though even if you're telling knob gags, you still there is something about having that platform. The last, if you like, I think for me, it's a freedom to last freedom of speech. But for my background, this is amazing that I can do this here.
Yeah.
Back in Pakistan, I probably couldn't say half the things I could. So I'm so grateful for that. But that is then, I think, for us as individuals, I can't speak for every other comedian, but in this room, are we not using that platform to make some tiny difference?
Yeah, yeah. So you do feel like, rather than just doing jokes about going shopping at Lidl and Aldi, which, by the way, I mean, I've got an hour on that.
Yeah,
it's gold.
And one do you love more? Aldi, well, it's a tough call.
Where do you stand on the great Lidl-Aldi debate?
Lidl, Lidl all the way. Lidl all the way. Yeah. It's that random aisle in the middle. That's what does it for me.
Yes, it is.
Scuba diving deer among frozen turkeys.
That random aisle in the middle is literally better than drugs.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Just it's your weekly fix.
Yeah. Who knew that you needed a special fishing trousers? But you did.
You did.
Strangely padded.
But I don't know. I think there's some kind of weird conspiracy, that whole middle aisle. I think it's sucking us in, and I think we need to. I think there's something deeper.
God, why don't Lidl just stop selling like foodstuffs? You know, baked beans for 11p. Let's just have the whole shop is the middle aisle.
That would ruin it. That's too much
really?
Middle aisle. Yeah, that's
you need the distraction.
Too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
Just imagine that. And also, if you had if you didn't just have the middle aisle, they had to fill a whole shop with that stuff. It would get increasingly obscure, wouldn't it? Well, they'd be like, oh, goat handling gloves.
Aren't you just describing Wilkinson's right now?
Breast defenders.
Breast defenders.
Yeah. You know, because if you're working with in a workshop situation and you've got like a drill, you know, maybe your breasts need to be protected. And that's, you know, Lidl would have such, you know, devices.
That's because guys have their, you know, they're package protectors, don't they?
Yes, we do.
And we do end up knocking into stuff if you're a little bit
correct.
You know, and so yeah, no, there's nothing to protect the old boobies, is there?
Now, speaking of matters sartorial, I want to share something before we have a big review of the year and get into all the different things that have happened. And I think my overall theme is going to be asking you whether we can be positive about it, whether we be positive about Donald Trump and positive about Brexit. So good luck with that. Look of dark panic in Sajila's eyes. But before we start, I had a lovely punch the air moment this morning. And what happened is that I awoke and I was in a semi-pajama situation. So I was wearing boxer shorts. I actually sleep in boxer shorts. Okay, that's how... But you get people that sleep naked. I can't... I don't have the self-esteem to that. Do you know what I mean?
I couldn't do that.
I'm a naked sleeper.
Wow. Like but look at you. You're in your 20s. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You're very generously tailored in all departments.
I like to be naked at all times if I can.
You're a lovely man. You've got a tremendous body mass index.
I was going to come naked.
If I look like you, I don't think I'd just sleep naked. I'd live a naked life.
Well, other people don't like that, Mark.
And I'd walk around and I would just say to people, random people in the street, I would just say, "You're welcome."
I tried it on a
tube. That's what I would
once.
Do. Whereas if I did that, it would just be apologies all round. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this, and I'm sorry for everything. So we've got a boxer short situation. Mm. Now here's the first thing. So that with a layer, which is a kind of roll neck jumper type thing. You know, it's like
a you
bag.
Wear a roll neck jumper to bed.
Well, I just, you know what?
That's weird.
I just found it in the cupboard. All my pajama type stuff. I know my pajama type stuff was like in the process of the laundry cycle, if you like.
I imagine you have a lot of pajama suits.
There's a lot of onesies. I'm very velour is my favourite material.
Yeah, but I see you in a smoking jacket. I don't know why. I visualise you in a smoking jacket and an armchair.
Wakes up with a cigar.
I do, but it's not a cigar. It's a crack pipe, which I bought on eBay and it used to belong to Whitney Houston. But here's the thing. But I, just because I work in show business and I just thought, you know, knock yourself out, enjoy. So I'm wearing this roll neck thing. I grabbed it. I went to bed. That'll do. That's a garment. I'll sleep in that. It's not a good start, is it? And I wake up and I got my boxer short. And then I changed my underwear and then I get dressed. And I just quickly try, like, I must try on this jacket and see if it's a good fit. Because I haven't worn it for ages as a velvet jacket. Put it on top of my pajama roll neck situation. Mm-hmm. I thought, that looks really good. So I'm still wearing my pajamas. I slept in this. Now I'm wearing fresh boxers, fresh socks and trousers. But from the upper, we're looking at, this is a sleep suit.
Well,
but first of all, have I broken any unspoken laws?
It's
bed sweat. Underneath that roll neck, it's just bed sweat.
It is. It does feel a bit crunchy under here, I've got to say. It's humming slightly.
The neck is just keeping it all in.
Oh,
nice,
keeping it all
tight.
In. As soon as you take it off,
you're going to plume out stink.
So it's an example of what I would describe as sort of delicious laziness. You know, it's just a pleasure to... I mean, it wasn't intentional, but I actually thought it looks all right, that combination. Mm-hmm. So let's roll with it. And it was just so uncomplicated. I mean, I've done a couple of other things, such as I got rid of all odd socks in my life by having only one kind of sock, which is a Marks & Spencer's Woolrich kind of...
Genius.
They're very good socks, these. They're basically for old men, and they're quite loose at the top so you don't lose the blood supply to your to the rest of your body. So they're kind of loose wool socks, and I just bought like 20 pairs.
But that's genius. I never thought that. Just get the same sock, and then you'll never...
It's a game changer.
I mean,
it's the best thing that happened this year by some distance, you know?
That is really cool.
And I mean, my son, you know, had his first tooth. My other son started secondary school, but really the big story is the socks.
The socks. I mean, I think you should
say those children are great people, but the knowledge that I don't have to... And the other big thing is... not having the curse of lucky socks, because the problem I get is that if I've got different kinds of socks, I had these weird yellow socks from H&M, which had, for some reason, French bulldogs on them. Welcome to H&M. And I had those, and I wore them and had a great day, right? And then I wore them, and a couple of weeks later, had another great day. They've become, because I'm
psychologically
super... They're my lucky sock. Yeah. And then on another occasion, I had a really hard day ahead of me, and good stuff needed to happen. Couldn't find the lucky socks. Mm. I had one lucky sock, and it was carnage. So
you have half a good day.
I had a half a good day.
Yeah.
So therefore, do you guys have, like, I don't know, is there any laziness in you guys? Have you got examples of creative laziness in your life? Do you cut corners?
Wait, I know you said we both got long hair. Right?
Yeah.
How often do you wash your hair?
Wash it? Oh, it varies completely. I'll go maybe 3 days most.
Yeah, probably. I can go a lot longer. And the thing is, I'm known for my hair because I've got big hair.
You've got lovely hair.
Yeah, but I will probably go maximum I've gone 3 weeks without.
You've got
washing.
To be joking me.
No.
And at that point,
we are blessed with the spray stuff that they sell in the shops, the dry shampoo.
Right. Does that work?
It's like talcum powder.
Dry shampoo. I mean, that is something that's basically out of Harry Potter, isn't it?
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
I know. You just spray it in and then it suddenly goes, woohoo! But it's really crunchy though. Then your hair becomes really crunchy. You can almost break it off.
See, I've used it. I just spray it on my face and just breathe it in.
And breathe it in.
I like a dry shampoo on the lung is a good feeling.
But a dry shampoo on the lung is always
it's like a legal high.
Yeah. I mean, give up smoking and just do dry shampoo. Yeah. I mean, that's the way to go. And I see you're a brunette as well. We're all brunettes, right? But the secret to the dry shampoo is I'm going grey. You probably aren't because you're really young. And
of course
beautiful.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, it's young and beautiful. We hate you. But yeah, you can spray it. It's like you've got a brown colour in it. So you can spray it so they touch up the roots.
This is I love all of that smoke and mirror stuff. When I made an appearance on Sky a few months ago and they said, please, can you wear like a smart shirt and a jacket and stuff. Anyway, I got there and I realised the shirt was really crinkled, you know, and they said, don't worry, we've got, you know, we'll iron it, which is lovely. So I gave them the shirt and she said, front panels. And I said, sorry, what do you mean front panels? And basically, it's an expression in TV that I didn't know, which is you just only iron the part of the shirt that can be seen on television.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I'm loving. So I've taken front panel. I'm front paneled up today.
Yeah.
If I loosen my trousers, it all goes horribly wrong in terms of this outfit. But if I don't move too much, I look all right. But I love the front. I love to only iron the bits people see. Now, where do you stand on
yeah,
that?
No,
I'm confused about your stance on that. How can you hate odd socks but be okay with that whole decrease?
It's a strange thing, isn't it?
I
think I like it because, I mean, one man's laziness is another man's efficiency. Mm. And I think front panels is efficient. It's like it's the bit that is seen is in good nick and is pristine. Who cares about the rest?
Would you do that? Yes, I have. I have actually done that in the past, and I'm all about ironing the only bits that people see. So wearing Asian outfits, like you get the long tunic and then you've got the trouser bit at the bottom. I'm thinking, well, you only see that much.
Yeah.
So why am I ironing the rest of it? So that's why I would only iron the bottom bit.
God.
It takes ages to iron this stuff. So
I should live together.
I'm absolutely with you. I'm absolutely with you.
We could watch with all the time we're saving. There's so many box sets I could be enjoying.
We should be writing a book. All these like money saving tips.
Well, I've got another one for you. Two things. I don't wash rice. You know that every single rice instruction is that you wash the rice, right? I do not. I never wash rice.
Absolutely.
Do you know what? I don't know why they make you wash it. Here's the thing. You're boiling it. When you rinse it, it's sort of washed itself, really. And since I have not been washing rice, my health is still good.
Hmm.
I mean, I have a little tumour on my lower back. But I think actually worth it to not wash bloody rice.
I would disagree with that being a very, very good cook and stuff. Is you have to wash the... It's all the soil and the dirt and everything that's got to be washed out. And sometimes there's little creatures in there as well. Protein with your carbs.
And it's the same with veggies, like broccoli and stuff. You don't need to wash it. If you're boiling it, it's soaked in boiling water anyway.
True. Do you wash grapes before you eat them?
I do, actually. And here's why I wash grapes, because they're not cooked and therefore water doesn't need to... And I think grapes are sprayed with a lot of pesticides.
Mm. Yeah, no, I have to. I'm a bit OCD, so I do have to wash everything.
Well, now
everything.
More of your life hack shortcuts. Do tweet them in at Fubar Radio. Dolan at FubarRadio.com. I've actually been sort of trusted with an email address, which feels good. I still don't have a desk or a workstation, but there's talk of it in 2017. But. Looking back at our crazy year, and I don't know really, which is a bigger story, Brexit or Trump?
Trump. Got to be Trump.
Thing is, Trump isn't constitutional, though, is it?
Well,
Brexit is a change of the status of this country.
I thought that was obvious, though. Like, I predicted Brexit.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't think Trump would actually win it. I
mean, you didn't?
No. I mean, he didn't.
After Brexit, you still didn't. After Brexit, you still didn't think that... We could just be surprised again.
I was hoping that maybe my hope surpassed my logic, but I was hoping that he wouldn't. I mean, he technically didn't.
I'm assuming liberal-minded comedians, and therefore you probably don't like Donald Trump and you probably voted to remain. Is that a fair guess?
Yeah.
Although something that's happening now is that I'm meeting a lot of people of whom I'm very fond who are Brexiteers. Yeah. And I don't know what to do about that and whether... I cut them out of my life.
Delete them on Facebook.
Is that it? You obviously love a bit of conflict online. I can tell that now.
I don't know. Do I like a conflict? No, I don't. I just think, actually, my viewpoint on the people who voted for Brexit changed the night. So in the morning with a whole group of his friends, journalists and whatever, staying up to watch it and then watching, we've still got London, and then when it happened, it was like, oh my God, who the fuck thought that was going to happen? And then that evening I do a gig.
I wish you'd been on, like, sat next to David Dimbleby, just reacting in a very visceral way. You're like, fuck!
Oh my God, absolutely. We literally were all, you know, crestfallen. And then that thing where, oh, well, it's obviously all racist. But then somebody came, I was doing a show in Oxford that night, you know, Asian woman doing a show called Sharia's Law, Little Asian Women. And it's a mixture of audience members who voted to remain and voted to leave. They started fighting with each other. It was a really interesting show. And I was like, yeah, hello, come here to see me, people. Come on, let's get back to my show. And it was really emotional. But the people, and I thought, well, no, they've come to see the shows and they haven't. This is not about race. They're not racist. They haven't voted because they want all. You know, it's all not all been about immigrants. People were misinformed. So I have a different opinion about people who voted. Some of them already regret it.
Mm.
So I kind of get a bit angry. But
those
say
people,
the majority,
those are the people I loathe. Actually,
the ones who regretted it. Yeah. You want to kick them up the balls?
That's like,
you?
Sorry.
Yeah, oopsie daisy.
No, I know Brexiteers who are just like, no, I passionately believe this is right. If the economy tanks, it's a price worth paying, and we're looking at the bigger picture here. I acknowledge and respect those people, but it's the ones who used it as a protest vote because they were just annoyed with the government or the status quo.
Or was it somebody rubbish excuse? The lighting, our wattage is different, and you know it's down to the frame.
Bendy bananas.
excuse me.
All stupid. All horrible.
Sajila's having a little incident with her voice.
I am. I needed a glass of water.
What's happened is
we're just talking about Brexit is just making me choke.
Emotional, yeah.
That's meow meow is starting to catch up with you.
Sajila's
a great person. She's very chemical.
Yeah,
and it's why we love her. It's wrong to judge. Do you know what I mean? I've never met her, you know, not stimulated in one way or another. Do you know what I mean? Whether it's up or down.
There's definitely drugs in my system. There is definitely drugs in my system. Yes.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to tap into those drugs straight after a record. We're going to play a song by James Brown, Soulful Christmas. Abby has put together a fabulous Christmas playlist on the show because it is Christmas. We're going to talk about Christmas in a minute as well. And so much more. All the big stories of the week. Do interact with us at Foobar Radio, Dolan at foobarradio.com. Sajila and Jake are with us in the house. The time is 12:22. Don't go anywhere. Here's a man telling you what this is that you're listening to.
Mark Dolan eats the news on Foobar Radio.
Good God, I got a heart full of to get ready. Bring a new year in. Merry Christmas and a happy new year. All good cheer. There's one more thing that's been so nice to me down through the years, and I'll always remember you. Well, I'll never forget. You bought my records, come to see my show. That's why James Brown love you so. You come to see my show, that's a debt that I'll always owe. Come to see my show. See you Christmas. Come to see my show. See my show.
FUBAR Radio presents
Joey Page.
Croissant.
Quite hard to say without sounding like a bellend, wouldn't you say?
How did I fare just then?
Medium to fair.
Croissant.
Some people say croissant.
Fucking idiots.
Yeah, they are. But well, we're saying wrong. It. We're putting a little accent on. Croissant.
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 No, there's no E in it.
Croissant.
It's just the French. You can't look at the letters because it's a different language.
So I say, just let's all stop saying it. Just call it the French pastry.
Sorry, just because people are saying words slightly wrong, you think we should stop saying it?
Because we're all sounding like idiots.
I think you're the bellend, mate.
Every Wednesday,
Joey Page,
from 1 p.m. on FUBAR Radio. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Ah, Jake Pickford and Sir Gina Kershaw with us in the studio. It's Mark Dolan Eats the News, 12:26, the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. This is FUBAR Radio. And Jake, I was going to ask you a question, which is, I think the only way we're going to get through 2017 is to be positive, because I think everyone is quite punch drunk from general bad news stories of the last 12 months. We can only approach 2017 with optimism and hope.
Yes.
Because otherwise, maybe, because I don't think there's a way that we can't, there's no way we can not do 2017, or is there?
Well, we can get a DeLorean, but other yeah, than, good. And we could try, but the problem with 2017 is that if you try and remain optimistic, you're automatically set up for failure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because all of the people that had died in 2016, there's still a lot left that we really like from that kind of golden age.
Yeah.
They're gonna die. People haven't clicked on with this yet, but they're going to die too.
Do you know what? This whole celebrity thing, are there particularly more celebrities that we lost this year than normal? Or is it just this tedious bandwagon that the media has of essentially celebrity death news? Don't they always die, celebrities?
Yeah, they always die. I think maybe it's just that there's been some iconic deaths this year, haven't they? Like as Prince, Bowie, yeah. Zsa Gabor. This last one.
I know. It carries on.
Yeah, it carries on. But I think maybe because they're iconic, and certainly for people of a certain age, we grew up with their music. So it's like our memories. And we're thinking, we see them as, we remember them back in the 80s or something, I don't know. And so how did they get to the point where they're ill and they're dying?
Yeah.
You know, maths. And that's freaky. But I don't think, people are always dying. I think this year just happens to be a lot more quicker together. I mean,
although Bowie. I'm a bit tired of people going on about how bad 2016 is, you know, and you know you're going to get to the point where someone from Cash in the Attic dies, and there'll be a tweet somewhere. It's like, okay, 2016, can you just stop now?
Yes. The last straw.
The fat guy from Cash in the Attic is dead. On top of David Bowie and Ronnie Corbett, this is just too much.
Yeah, I have seen a few.
Now.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen a few. I don't know. People I've not even heard of, and it's just, can you just? Like, do we know this person? Am I supposed to know them? Should I Google this? I don't know. It's like, yeah, you know, who is this person?
Do you know what I think you need to do? Because you like to, you know, spice things up a little. No, I'm joking, by the way, Sajila. What you do is you express your opinion. You're very authentic online, which I think is valuable because there's so much bollocks on there. But I think next time a big celebrity dies, I think you just say, well, they had a good innings. You know, it's, you know.
Especially
yeah, but they did.
Player.
Like, how old was Bowie? He was in his 60s, okay? He did have cancer, to be fair. You know, he had cancer. So that is, there is a, you know, and sad and true, but that is kind of, you know, we can understand why that happened. Prince was a bit of a shock.
For
that
sure.
Was, yeah, okay, we can, you know, that's a shock. And then there are genuinely people who are just too, like Leonard Cohen, he was getting on a bit, yeah. Really.
I like it. Sajil has got like a sympathy index.
But it goes from
what a shame. Too young. Died too young. Had a good innings. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
Too deservedly so.
About bloody time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, can we stop getting, you know, Zaza was like about a million years old and she'd been in a coma for five of those years. So
who?
Zaza Gabor.
Oh, had she?
So it's not...
Got married three times during the coma.
During the coma. Yeah. And
at that point, she was a perfect wife. Didn't answer back.
We're going back to the 80s.
I'm here all week. Try the veal. My chief executive producer, deputy vice president of the show is Abby, and she's brought in a quote from Donald Trump on the appalling Berlin Christmas market lorry attack. And I think the quote gives us a flavour of Donald Trump's timbre. In this situation, our hearts and prayers are with the loved ones of the victims of today's horrifying terror attack in Berlin. Innocent civilians were murdered in the streets as they prepared to celebrate the Christmas holiday. Well, that's something that probably Barack Obama could have said, but the next bit isn't. He added, ISIS and other Islamist terrorists continually slaughter Christians in their communities and places of worship as part of their global jihad.
It's a market.
These terrorists. Well, it's exactly. That's incoherent already. It is a place of worship for me because I love glue wine. These terrorists and their regional and worldwide networks must be eradicated from the face of the earth, a mission we will carry out with all freedom loving partners. And so it goes on and on and on. I was hoping we could have a conversation about the positives of Donald Trump. Could there be any?
No.
The Apprentice was interesting, wasn't it?
His hair's quite
and it was
fun.
Yeah.
Is there any advantage to having somebody in who clearly is not a sort of Washington hack? You know, he's not a career politician. Could this be that his arrival just serves democracy in some kind of perverse way?
At the very start, I said that. And then he started putting in people like Mike Pence.
Right.
And everyone
tell us about Mike Pence.
Mike Pence is an evil man. Mike Pence wants to thinks that women should have funerals for fetuses of babies if they have miscarriages. He's a horrible human. He's racist. He doesn't believe in environmental policy. Mm. The guy who Trump's just put in as the environmental secretary went on TV and said that he wanted to get rid of three departments. Name two, and then couldn't name the third one he wanted to get rid of, and it was the environmental department.
Gold.
Because sometimes what we were saying earlier, you can't write that stuff.
One thing Trump has done is he's filled his cabinet with billionaires. There's been some complaints because they're all, you know, CEOs of big multinational companies. Now, this is the Trump philosophy, which is, look, I want self-made people in government who are not politicians, but who have gone out there and achieved stuff. Could he be right about that?
I think, actually, you just said, what's the positives? That's a positive. He's getting his mates in, right? I think if you're going to go up the way up, right, or you know, people kick them and say, oh, I'm going to get on my own. He's bringing his mates with him. That's not terrible. I think that's quite a decent thing to do.
Yeah.
It's not good for the rest of us, but I'm just saying that that's quite a nice thing to do. It's bringing his mates along with him for the ride.
I mean, all of the winners this year have been the underdogs, really. The people who we, in some ways, ridiculed previously. Boris Johnson is now foreign secretary, bounced back from the complete debacle of his leadership bid. But he's been the winner, ultimately. Donald Trump, obviously. Nigel Farage, who was shortlisted for Time Magazine Man of the Year. I mean, if I told you that 6 months ago, you'd have injected me and made me get into a van. So that's very, very interesting. But so the underdogs and the countercultural, the counterintuitive people have won. And I wonder whether there's no sense in which that's going to change. Do we feel like there's different rules now and career politicians are out the window? Is it a blip or is it a trend?
I think it's a blip. I think it's a blip because we got sick of the same old, same old, same old. So what Trump did, he broke every single rule in how you run for, you know, president. He just broke every single thing. Oh yeah, what's the most shocking thing that someone to say? And I think people just shook people up and thought, yeah, okay, well, you know, this is because what Hillary did was just made the mistake of doing the, you know, churning out the same old political kind of tripe that we heard for years and years and years. I'm going to promise this, and I'm going to bring that. And he was just like, no, you know, creates like the monster, and then gives us the solution how to get rid of the monsters. And so, you know, it, in a way, it was amazing because it's like, wow. If you're going to put like a PR spin on this, someone is advising, I'm assuming someone is advising him. They are advised, right? He did this by himself, did he?
I think so. I don't know.
He's
not listening. But it was just, from that point of view, it was incredible to watch because, oh my God, this is working. This is just, you know, he's being as evil and racist as he possibly could. Building a wall. I'm going to build a wall. Who's going to pay for it? The Mexicans, you know. Yeah. It's genius. In a kind of evil, kind of, you know, James Bond character kind of way.
Yeah, Mr. Burns from The Simpsons is basically president now.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary.
But I think that's only because if Trump had been running against anyone else, and I mean literally anyone else other than Bill Clinton, I think they would have won. Because I think it was solely because Hillary was just the most hated human being.
He could have gone up against Screech from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
And it would have been a landslide, which would be good because I miss Screech from Saved by the Bell, and I think any kind of public platform for him would be welcome.
Have you tracked his career since Saved by the Bell? It's beautiful.
You must tell me.
Two porn films, one called Screeched, and I don't remember what the other one was called.
That's quite clever.
Then he spent some time in prison for some various drugs.
As you do.
Yeah, and now he's just out and trying to do his thing, trying to get back on the bandwagon of TV.
Well, it's lovely. Just a matter of time. And another winner of the year, you have to say, looks to be President Putin, Vladimir Putin of Russia. And, you know, the latest sort of scandal is the suggestion that he may have influenced the outcome of Strictly. And at that point...
I draw a line at that.
At that point, you've crossed the moral line, haven't you? I mean... Are we to be concerned? Is anyone concerned about Russia's belligerent tone in terms of international affairs, obviously propping up the Syrian regime? Do you think that this friendship between Donald Trump and Putin is going to actually make the world a more secure place? Because there was a view that Hillary Clinton was a belligerent warmonger. That's certainly one of the accusations. Mm. And that people say she's crazy, she's bloodthirsty. And the Obama regime has had a very cold and indeed bad relationship with Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to, you know, we know that the Clinton presidency would have been essentially a third Obama term. There was going to be no change in foreign policy. And that means a continued frosty relationship with Russia. So what about this, you know, blank canvas opportunity for Trump, who's made good mood music in the direction of Vladimir Putin? Will it make the world a safer place potentially? Do you feel safer?
I don't know, because I like I said, talking about the advisors, you know, when Obama came in and everyone was like, yeah, my God, you know, it's changed, yeah. But essentially, you know, they all do suck the same cock, really. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just saying that maybe, you know, if this Trump whole campaign was just a thing to get him there, if someone's advising him, then maybe, I don't know, bizarrely, it might work. I mean, shocking things have happened this year. So
yeah.
I'm just thinking, this is so ludicrous. It might actually bring peace. Wouldn't that be crazy? And this is me trying to be, then my glass is always half full. So I'm just thinking, yeah, it could.
Maybe so. And what we're going to look at after a electrifying burst of Elton John, we'll look at whether there are some positives to Brexit too. We'll get into that. I'm going to do a major devil's advocate on that one. We've got that and so much more to come. Sajila Kirshi and Jake Pickford with us in the studio. It's Mark Dolan, Eats the News. And this is a 1973 offering from Elton John. And this is Step Into Christmas.
Sending you this Christmas card to say it's nice to have you.
He's good, isn't he?
FUBAR Radio presents
Screen Talk with Dan Clark.
If it could go wrong, it goes wrong, but that's a really... I watched that on an aeroplane. And have you found that airlines now show movies that you can't quite believe they show on airplanes anymore?
100%, like Flight.
Flight's on there! What on earth?
Planes have... They just make a good film even better.
What
and
is
bad
that
films
it's true.
Watchable.
So true!
I don't know what it is.
It's a new podcast. So true!
Films on planes.
Every Friday.
Screen Talk with Dan Clark.
From 12 PM on FUBAR Radio.
Dan Clark, always, always a great show. A clever, funny, and if we're honest, handsome man.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
It's FUBAR Radio. It's 12:43 on the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. You can listen in-app. You can listen on your computer, on the PC. You can download it. There are so many different ways that you can enjoy this show 24 hours a day. And Jake Pickford, it costs nought.
Wonderful.
Which is a good thing. So here we go. Brexit has happened. I'm going to share a view with you. My wife is German.
Oh, okay. Where from?
She's from Munich in Bavaria.
I live in Munich.
It's a nice place, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Bavaria. It's good. And basically, you know, we've had Brexit, which means she'll have to go. And
is that what you're telling her?
Yeah, that's, you know, I don't know logistically how it's going to happen, but I think there's going to be buses. And, you know, I have obviously packed her bags just to be on the safe side. And, you know, I don't think it's a problem. We've got the internet now. There's FaceTime. It's cool. Hmm. You know what I mean? I'll tweet. She'll get it. I might DM her quite often because obviously when you're married, I don't want to publicly tweet. I think it's more of a DM thing once you settle down with someone, isn't it?
A public tweet, if you're married or in a relationship, is more passive-aggressive stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, too right. Too right. So here's the thing about it. I voted to remain. I am British. My parents are Irish, so I'm the beneficiary immediately there of immigration, really, from Ireland, from the Republic of Ireland here to the UK. There's a wonderfully open door policy between those two countries and pretty much always has been, which is fantastic. However, this mood, this anti-immigrant mood, is very, very unfortunate, clearly. There are lots of downsides to it. First of all, economically, clearly leaving the European single market is not going to be good for us. Hard Brexit is at the moment what is going to happen, because it's been very clear from Brussels that we can't just have an a la carte solution. That's not good. The racial thing is not good. I don't like the mood. Like, for example, everyone's going on about this immigration thing and we don't want immigrants. And, like, be careful what you wish for, right? We don't want English people making our food again. Because they... I don't know if you... Last time you were fed by, like, an actual English person, they boil everything.
Yep.
And they wrap everything in pastry or batter.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a lot more batter, a lot more Morris dancing. So that's not good. However, I just wonder whether Brexit is going to make Britain an even more desirable place to live, have an even higher status in the world, on the basis that Britain has basically now become the Groucho Club. Right? The membership is something money can't buy. You have to just find a way to be here. An exclusivity and also an identity, because if you're not in this structure, this political and economic structure of the European Union, then Britain really becomes Britain again and a country. So, I mean, it's difficult because I feel like it's sort of echoes of Nigel Farage, and I never want to sound like Nigel Farage.
Well, we are where we are.
I voted to remain, but I'm actually maybe the opposite of the people who regret. I'm now starting to think maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing. First of all, that there's an actual premium to living here. You can't just jump on the ferry and you're here, right? You've got to offer something. Why is that so bad? Identity-wise, culturally, British values are immediately safer because of Brexit. Terrorism, I don't think there's any question that having more control over your borders equals safer environment for citizens. Brexit, it's great. Discuss. Sajina, are you in?
Brexit, the solution. Well, yeah.
Do a trade deal with Pakistan. Pakistan is a growing market.
Is a growing market. As you said about having to go back to English food, I remember when I first arrived here as an immigrant, and curry wasn't a thing then, and I just wanted to. I did want to smell like my English friends. I just wanted to smell a boiled cabbage like they did. But you see, everybody doesn't mind smelling curries now. So what I've got another way of looking at it. It's like, okay, so we want British values. Well, I don't know what that means anymore because culture is a moving thing.
Yeah.
So we take away the curries, we take away the curry houses, we take away the late licensing laws, we take away all the staff in the hospitals, and let's just have the British stuff that British people want. Yeah. This is
shops
this is
not
Brexit.
Opening on a Wednesday.
Shops half day closing.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
That was hell.
Yes, bring back the half penny as well while we're at it.
Pubs closing for 2 hours at lunchtime.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to those British values.
Asbestos dust.
Yes. Asbestos.
Oh, yes. All three kinds of asbestos back.
Asbestos will be. I mean, I'm going to buy shares in the asbestos producers.
Because that's the
it's
way forward.
Yeah.
The whooping cough.
Yes.
That's almost certainly going to come back.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a dream.
Acne.
Acne, oh.
Just and proper spots. Do you remember, like, 1970s?
Like vintage facial, you know,
afflictions.
Deformities. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Football
that's
violence.
It. Really raw psoriasis.
Yes. And I think that's it. We've got then what we've voted
but
for.
But be careful, because you're also going to lose nut allergies, which is good. People will be robust.
Immediate
people
deaths.
Will be robust again.
That's true.
We get white. We're allowed to have white bread. You don't have to feel guilty about white bread anymore.
White coffee.
White
you
bread.
No,
bread. White
people. No German That's right. people saying this white bread is so unhealthy. You should be having this brown bread that we, rye bread that we're eating.
Do you that's know, a really must, good German
it's
accent.
It's scary, isn't it? I'll tell you something
that's
about
getting it from the
Second World War. Went to the Imperial War Museum, and the German. If you ever wonder about nutritional stuff, the Germans had adverts. In Germany, and the adverts were public education, public health notices, and one of them was eat dark bread, it's good for you, and then you'll be well and strong and we'll win the war. There were adverts to said, please eat dark bread.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? So dark the Germans, bread. They know what's good for them.
They do know what's
they're
good
nobody's
for them.
Fault.
Which is really interesting.
Bread.
It's eat dark bread so we'll win the war, but what was happening?
Well, I love the
what
way you're like you're just checking. Just checking. I think maybe they lost. Let me just Google that for a second. It was a lovely.
Yeah. You're so the, being healthy didn't help them, did it? Really?
You're the only person I've ever met that needed to quickly Google the outcome of the Second World War. I like it. Are you still unsure about what happened in the Battle of Hastings? Perhaps William the Conqueror.
William the Conqueror. 1066.
I actually embarrassingly.
That's the only day I remember
know.
From history lessons.
But they think that we won the war because of fish and chips. Because we were blockaded by Germany. And what they used to do is we'd have these cargo ships with foodstuffs, and they would bomb those with submarines, which is quite a cruel way of... It's like basically let's starve them out of the war. But we had fish and we had potatoes. And that's why they think that fish and chips is so beloved to this nation.
Because it won us the war.
Fish and chips.
Damn straight.
And also kept spirits up because fish and chips does just make you happy, doesn't it?
It does, it does. My French family, I just went to see over the weekend, were just raving about the best thing in England is fish and chips. I don't really? Is something else that you like about coming over here?
Yeah, the nothing racism, the teapots. There's loads to choose from.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, really. I'm feeling really sunny about it. We can do trade deals with extraordinarily big superpowers now, like India, which I think is the second largest... No, it's the largest democracy in the world. We can do a deal with China. We can do a deal with the United States. And Donald Trump, we're at the front of the queue. What's not to like? I mean, Jake, culturally, I think it's going to be quite... You know, you're going to be thinking, oh, I've got a British passport. Well, it's got some real value now.
My problem is that we're not going far enough with it because people keep banging on about British values and we're confused about what that means. Mm. But I think people need to show us. We need to start building houses in the shapes of teapots.
Oh,
we
I
need
like
to
this.
Paint all cars red, all buses red, all taxis. Everything needs to be
Maybe
red.
Maybe some people
Everything.
Should be red as well.
People should be red, white,
In
and
Scotland,
blue.
That's done already, so that's taken care of that one.
That's true, yeah. And Scotland's way better than us anyway. We need better. We need some sort of British male skirt to rival the kilt.
Yeah.
Maybe break up all of the unions.
Well, why don't men have like a boob tube or something in England? Wouldn't that be the thing? Because I don't want to copy the Scots. Do you know what I mean? I think we need our own angle.
No, but maybe we could have a roll neck. I don't know.
Yes.
A bed roll neck that just kind of, it's it's protecting.
I do think there's
British values around your neck.
That's where you keep your.
Yeah, that's where you keep my values. Is
the other thing that's happened to me is okay. So I'm deliberately being counterintuitive here, but a friend of mine has a French girlfriend, and she said, "Well, they're basically she's leaving. She wants to leave." The UK. They live in the UK. They've got a great life. Mm. They both work. They're living in London, which is, I think, the best city in the world. It's certainly in the top three cities on the planet. It's one of the safest big cities in the world. It's beautiful. The weather is temperate. The people have humour. There's an infrastructure. London's amazing. But they're like, I said, why? Why does she want to leave? And it's an issue for their relationship. And he said, well, she doesn't feel like she wants to be here anymore. She doesn't feel welcome. And I just thought, oh, I'm a bit sick of this now. I was like, get over yourself. Do you know what I mean? I lived in Edinburgh for 4 years. I'm English. I spent 4 years being hated. Didn't think any less of Edinburgh. It's one of the most beautiful cities. I love Edinburgh. I love Scotland. I'm a Scottophile. I owe half my education to Scotland because I did my degree up there. But at no point did I feel welcome. Being English. Hello. Please let have some of your haggis. That would be... Yeah. And a glass of scotch, please. You know. I, by the way, it's really unfair on the folk of Edinburgh. I don't mean that there was any racism towards me, but I wasn't Scottish. I was an Englishman. And, you know, once you get to know people, and they're lovely and everything. But... I don't know. There's a lot of people just going because they don't feel welcome. Aren't they overreacting?
Yeah, I think so. Surely when people want you to leave, that just makes me want to stay.
Well, that's it. I totally agree.
No. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going nowhere. I'm going to stay here.
Yes.
I'm going to do everything that really winds you up. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah, I don't want to leave.
Just have a brass neck about it and you crack on, basically.
And in fact, I want to go more ethnic. I want to get an accent. I want to get my accent back. I'm going to start wearing Asian outfits. I'm going to be smelling a curry. I'm going to be doing everything that really pisses you off.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
I'm going to be every stereotype that you hate.
Yes. And I think when you like go for a walk or anything like that, let's say you pop down to your local Tesco Express, you do it in a flash mob Bollywood style.
Yeah.
Creating quite a lot of traffic and congestion.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do know exactly what you mean, and I think we touched on it earlier. It was like, well, what are British values? And I think we've identified it, which is what British values is pluralism, actually, is tolerance, is liberal.
Yes.
It's like we don't, you know, there was talk this week of public servants and politicians having to declare an oath to British values. Did you see that? Do you know something?
Him, that one.
Yeah. I've met him and I said, how do you say your name? And he says, I don't know either.
It's Sajila, but it's Sajid.
Is that it?
Sajid.
Well, there you go. And he is suggesting, floated this idea. And I just thought, well, no, but in Britain, it's all implicit. We don't write that stuff down.
No.
You know, it's just... implicit, it's implied, you know, it's assumed. And I think that's the way it's going to go, and it's got to be quite organic. I think
people think the British values is being able to talk to a random stranger in the street and immediately have them engage in an amazing conversation with
Yes.
I don't want that ever. I don't like talking to strangers. Maybe London's just made me like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a stranger talk to me and have to think of a conversation and have to entertain them in order to be considered adhering to British values. You know what I mean?
Really? Now, this is where I love to chat with strangers. And I'm very lucky being occasionally on television, right? Which means that... Because I was one of those people that I would talk to strangers in the queue at Starbucks before I'd done any kind of public job. And it was always a roll of the dice. Half the time, people would just love it and really respond to it. And those people are like you. They're like-minded. They like to chat. And it really catches fire. I'm like, oh, good. You having a mocha latte? Two shots? I know I need it today. After last night, I need that. I can assure you. And it's lovely. But then other people just like, you know, don't want. They give you short shrift, don't they? It's really useful if you do a bit of broadcasting, because then what happens is that people can say, oh, I saw that thing you did. Normally, if I'm honest, a list show on Channel 5. And it's great. And then once we get chatting, but something really weird happened a year ago, which is I'm walking down the street and this guy goes, oh, my God, Paul Steele, it's not you. Can't be. Right. Now, that was a long time ago, Balls of Steel.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh, my God. You've no idea.
How long was it ago?
Last decade.
Because it feels still current.
Noughties.
No.
Yeah, it must have been at least.
Well, you've aged well, have you?
Oh, God bless
you've
you.
Done, you've done well. You've light. Done well, Mum.
Some moisturiser.
2004, I think we did the pilot. OMG.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
So that's quite shocking. And basically, But it was quite amusing, right? Which was just one of those. I am quite busy. I've got a lot of stuff. Sometimes I'm busy. And it was just one of those days. I kind of didn't have a lot going on. And it was somewhere in central London. Oh, my God, Balls of Steel. So I'm really happy to chat. I'm answering questions about, you know, what's the annoying devil like in real life? Is Ned really that crazy? And I'm giving him all the, I'm giving him exclusive stuff, little behind the scenes, you know, stuff you didn't see. And it's all really, really good. And it just goes on and on and on. And at a certain point, this guy looked at his watch and said, listen, mate, I'm sorry, I've got to go now. You know what I mean? I've got other things to do. And I was basically, he started as my stalker, and we've done a role reversal, and he's had to kind of go, I just need some space. Can you please leave me alone? You know, and it was like, and that's it.
Come back, I've still got to tell you about series two.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And my funny documentaries, you don't want to know about the tallest woman? So I can come to your house if you like. So there you go. Well, on that embarrassingly confessional note, I've got one more confession, which is that this has been an outstanding show, and it's been outstanding because of you two, which is Jake Pickford and Sajila Kershi. Well done. Well done, and thank you. Both brilliant comics, great human beings, and not nearly lazy enough. Next time you're on the show, I want you pajamas. I want you to be unshaven, Jake. Careful.
I woke up 3 hours ago.
I want you to be positively humming.
Positively humming.
I really do. I want you to come in and just be very bacterial.
My bacterial. Yeah. Don't do my roots. That's with it. The spray stuff.
You don't need to. You're perfect as you are. Many thanks to both of you. I'd like to wish both of you a happy Christmas.
And you too.
Audience at home, happy Christmas. And indeed, a very happy new year to both of you and to our listening thousands. I've been Mark Dolan. I'll be back in the new year. And thanks for listening. Thanks to Abby. And thank you to Duncan and Julia and Ali and Nat and just everybody. Okay. The list is quite long. And I'm 42, so I can't remember. Thanks for listening. Here's a few seconds of Eartha Kitt. Don't go anywhere. Keep it FUBAR.
Baby, forgot to mention one little thing. A ring. I don't mean on the phone.
Liam.
Baby.
D.
Hurry down the chimney.
Leon.
Tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight.